What are you coughing there, Flint Rasmussen? Come on, man.
This
you
is, know, like a... I'm just, it's sort of like being on the radio with you. Figuratively, I just live in your secondhand smoke, and that's what I'm doing right now. It's yeah. Nice job on
just cough and tolerate. You know, I think it's I got this one. I ran out of my. I was going to have a Cattle Baron cigar out of Dillon, Montana, with us today. We're here broadcasting live from the Summit Cigar Lounge. The legendary Flint Rasmussen in the house with us. The real Flint joining us here for Montana Talks. But I ran out of my Cattle Barons from Dillon, and so I got this one. I picked up in Little Havana, I think, on a recent trip. So it's pretty good.
You look good with this cigar. You wear it well.
I need something to help me out here. Man, I'm excited for this show today because we just, you know, I left the studio. I left my laptop computer behind. I don't have one piece of paper in front of me. I don't have a list of anything that we're going to talk about. I thought, you know, we'll talk Bobcat football. They're headed to the national championship January 8th. Your girls are a big part of that incredible, entry for the Cats onto the football field. You just got back from the NFR. You're about to head to New York City. Where do we start? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, PBR season, I start, we're the night of January 1st in Indianapolis, a one-nighter, then to New York City, then to Chicago. And honestly, I've been really, you know, really monitoring the situation in New York City about mandates and not to go one side or the other, but the facts are there's a lot of small businesses in New York City. People don't believe that, but, you know, down around Madison Square Garden and Times Square, it's full of small businesses. And they've been those small businesses have been mandated by the local government to, check people's vaccines. And I'm really curious about the staffing and ability to monitor all of that in New York City, because I'm headed to New York City in a couple weeks. And
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
New York and New Jersey, both highly vaccinated states. Again, not to get in, the political side of it, but they're seeing a surge right now of COVID. And it's not because of the variant. It's still Delta that's causing this surge. But yeah, so that's that. But that definitely makes putting on a big event like the PBR, an interesting challenge.
We've navigated through it for 2 years now. And it's sort of like when we got down to Las Vegas, I had people messaging me from the time I was there for PBR finals. Hey, they're going to make us wear a mask in Vegas. And my response was, there's no attendance restrictions. You can do whatever you want. Yes, in Montana, it's easy to forget. It's easy to think, how can they make us wear masks? We haven't worn a mask in however long. But listen, they didn't keep us from doing anything. You put on a mask to get in the door.
And then
it's
the Wild West after that. January 8th, the Montana State University Bobcats headed to the national championship. Yeah. But really, both the Grizz and the Cats both have feathers in their caps this year.
So, by the way, let's say the correct name of the show. It's Flint and Flint in the Morning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Or it's Aaron Flint and the Real Flint.
The Real Flint.
Flint Rasmussen. Yeah.
Okay, let me get this out in the open. Because I've been wanting to put out some of Bo laughs. Because he knows when I rant. He knows. Here's the deal. Bobcat fans, shut up about the Grizzlies. Grizzly fans, shut up about the Bobcats. Let me tell you how the seasons went. The Grizzlies, what a great team. And I truly believe against James Madison University that the outcome, maybe not win or lose, but the outcome in the game would have been different if the Grizzlies would not have lost their quarterback and their number one receiver in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So what a great season. People say, and so the Bobcats, they're doing well, national championship. Grizzly fans say, oh, yeah, how'd they do against the Grizzlies? I'll tell you how they did. They got their butts kicked completely. The Grizzlies ran it to them. I mean, no doubt. It was a great performance by the Grizzlies, terrible performance by the Bobcats, which has created one of the greatest rallies and turnarounds by a college football team I've ever seen.
Sometimes you got to get your butt kicked to really start winning again and to get back on the right track, right?
So, Grizzly fans, when you say to Bobcat fans, oh, yeah, how'd they do against the Grizzlies? That's the answer. So what do we do? Do we not cheer for the Bobcats because the Grizzlies beat them? You got a trophy for beating the Bobcats. Good job. I mean, I respect the Grizzlies. What a great team. So okay, here's the other thing. You and I saw it yesterday. What is the obsession now with Grizzly fans posting, hey, I want to know something. Did you cheer for the Grizzlies back in 95 when they were in the national championship? I lived in Lolo, Montana at that time. Dave Dickinson, I think, possibly the greatest winner, not the greatest athlete, the greatest winner and competitor to ever play for the Montana Grizzlies, and I was a fan. So the answer is yes. But why do you need to know that? Why do you even float the question out on social media? Is that going to justify? If you get 10 Bobcat fans that say, yes, we cheered for him, then do you say, okay, I guess I'll cheer for the Bobcats? Because as a Bobcat fan, I could give a rat's rear end if you cheer for
yeah. So, but, see, and I'm the same way because I went to the University of Montana.
Yeah.
And we were talking during the break. I remember back in the day, Grizz Stadium was rocking and roaring, and you go to Bozeman for the Cat Grizz game, and you're like, holy cow, is this a high school stadium? But now the Bobcat Stadium is rocking and rolling. But at the end of the day, like I had a friend say, this isn't a real rivalry if you cheer for your rival if they make it to the national game. And I just think Montana, we are different here in Montana. I don't care about the Pac this or the Big that, Big Ten. I don't really care. I want to watch Montana kids or Montana teams play. And if a Montana team is going to the national championship, you're darn right I'm going to root for them.
There's probably 43 other states that don't even know Montana has two great universities.
And let's keep it that way.
Yeah, there you go. But the whole – I kind of agree with something Bobby Houck said 2 years ago. He said the Bobcat-Grizzly rivalry has gotten to a point it's almost not fun anymore. Now, listen, during that week or 2 weeks leading up, do all the things you want. Now, I'm not a FTG, FTC guy.
Yeah, I don't do that either. Yeah.
That's profane. I don't like it.
I'll do a Let's Go Brandon chat, but I don't like the FTG. That's it. You know, that's over the line.
Yeah.
You know.
So I agree where he said it has. Why are we – yeah, we can still talk about it, but it gets to the point. You've seen it. People just get angry. Well, now, Bobcat fans, and I've been a part of this the week of the Cat-Grizzly game, but – the other day they started the song, the Moni Moni song, and there's a line in there, eat, whoop, Grizzlies, go Cats,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, yeah, or and, hey, what do you say, let's get Brandon,
yeah,
something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
And that's a thing with that song that Bobcat fans do, and they did it on the field when they stormed the field. And I went to my girls, I said, I don't think they should have played that song because right now it has nothing to do with the Grizzlies. And my girls, as students at Montana State, said, Dad, we love doing that, but we're not, the Grizzlies aren't even on our mind when we're doing that. It has become part of that song.
It's just part of the fun of being in the stadium. I do have to say, though, in defense of fans on both sides, that when I was at the Cat Grizz in Missoula this year, I think because we didn't have a game last year, when all those other kids everywhere else were playing football and our kids couldn't play, at least at the start of the game, the tailgating ahead of time, it was the friendliest I'd ever seen fans on both sides to each other. I mean, you still heard FTG, FTC, but it was the friendliest I'd ever been because I think everybody was just so happy to finally be free to watch the game again.
I think overall it's pretty healthy. But when you stand with guys who actually had a career, a Mark Fellows, a Joe Bignall, two of my good friends, they don't even think about the Grizzlies. They're there to watch the game. When you are around people, listen, I have a career that I get to be in front of people and have passion and see competing. So I don't have to live vicariously through 20-year-old kids playing football. And when you watch these art, when you watch people get in this debate on social media, it's like junior high kids. I mean, you can't win. Just acknowledge, acknowledge what the other team is doing.
Do you talk Cat Grizz football at the dinner table? We're gonna get your Christmas arguments started off right here. Okay, who's got the best entrance? Cats or the Grizz? You and I might both be biased on this front, but I do have to say, if as somebody who went to the University of Montana, and I love it when Monty comes out on the Harley, it's incredible, and nothing compares to the atmosphere with it roaring off of the mountain, of Mount Sentinel there. But I'll tell you what, even Grizz fans, you see those horses come roaring out onto the Bobcat Stadium, you're like, that's pretty dang cool.
Okay, let's get it straight right now. The Grizzlies' greatest stadium in FCS. In this division, 1AA, whatever you want to call it. Unbelievable. They set the standard. Bobcats for 20 years have aspired. They knew that if they wanted to get some good Montana recruits, which they are now, they needed to change the atmosphere of their stadium. There's more work yet to come. It's a great deal.
But they've got a real stadium, a real environment now.
Let me tell
you. They've been roaring in the postseason.
They have.
Yeah.
21,000 last week. It was great. Okay, so a few years ago, they used to run the horses out on the field at the Ag Appreciation football game, the rodeo team, and they'd run it out once.
We'll give you your one game. Here you go.
Yeah, here you go. Coach Jeff Choate, who, by the way, I was his RA in Centennial Hall in the dorms at Western Montana College.
Really?
So Jeff Choate and I have known each other since.
He went to Dillon.
Yeah.
I forgot that.
He was a Western
kid.
He was playing linebacker there and got in a car wreck in the offseason and ended up going and being a student coach. Mm. That was the beginning of his career.
Wow.
Anyway.
So some bobcat, went back in time and caused the wreck with Choate so he could be
right.
the coach and get them started on this path to victory, right?
So I think it was Choate, that staff that said, hey, we'd like to have that all the time. So if the rodeo team is in town, which at the beginning of the fall, a lot of times they're not there, they're at a rodeo, they lead the team out. And so last Saturday at the playoff game, Shelby and Paige, my two daughters, were the first two, and they were on Shelby's horses, Petey and Ice Cube. That's the two horses. Let me tell you, here was the issue. Here's an issue they have, and they've since changed it in these last few games. Those horses come off that little slope, and the problem they had at the beginning of the year, the end zone is blue, and those horses won't step on that blue field. They won't step. It doesn't look right.
They don't like the blue.
Yeah, so now they let them come down and mill around a little bit. But, that is, to me, I guess the reason I like that entrance, because the Grizzlies have a great entrance, too, with the Harley, it just says Montana.
Yeah.
I remember watching them ride down the field a couple of years ago, or Shelby, and they were playing a team from somewhere east, and those players watch those horses, and you're just like, it's over. They're already scared of the horses. Okay, so.
And the girls on the horses.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about this at the break, but a lot of people are saying, oh, they need to go to Texas and lead the team out. Okay, for one, they didn't even know if they were going to get to do it at the playoff games, because the NCAA controls the playoff games and try to create a more neutral atmosphere. There's no cowbells allowed. The announcer of the game announces a little different. So for one, and there's no way Frisco, Texas is going to let horses. It's a natural grass field, for one. And no way it's going to happen. And those are rodeo horses. They're very valuable. They don't need to make a 3,000-mile trip.
I was going to say, if for those Montanans out there that have kids in college, that's expensive enough. Imagine having kids in college and horses in college and horse trailers in college. Oh, and then now you want to go how many thousands of miles trailering those horses to bring them to Frisco, Texas? Why can't they just say, well, this is my care animal. What do they call this? This is my therapy horse. And they can bring it on the plane with them.
On the plane. I've been by a lot. Hey, I sat by some people on a plane this year, and it wasn't even a service animal. They had flown this couple from Alaska had flown all the way to California to buy a hairless cat. Have
really?
You seen those?
Wow.
They look like E.T., and they had this hairless cat beside me on the plane.
Wow.
He was so ugly, he was cute. Like Bo, kind of.
Yeah, like Bo. Yeah, we got Bo Wagner here.
Thanks.
Bo, do you want to respond? Because Bo doesn't say too much. He's a great rodeo producer.
I appreciate that.
You got it.
Bo, if these hairless cats are in such high demand, I can head to the house after this and, quickly manufacture a hairless cat. Rolf, how much is that going for right now?
I'm not sure what the futures are on the hairless cat.
People lived in Alaska. What the hell do you do with a hairless cat in Alaska?
we're just going to see how long till he freezes up here, Bill. Yeah. Just give it a few more seconds.
That's
here.
Right. That's right. So anyway, good Bobcat Grizzly discussion. Congratulations to everyone. I mean, the Grizzlies, what a great team. They're always good. Now the Bobcats have gotten to the point. Honestly, there's a point that I watch the Bobcats and I go, they just won that game like the Grizzlies would. Remember for a while, the Grizzlies couldn't lose. Like, I'd watch them. They'd be down 20-6 going in the fourth quarter, and they go, and I'd say, the dang Grizzlies won again. How'd they do that? Like, well, now it's gotten where the Bobcats are kind of like
that. It reminded me of what our buddy Kelly Seifert told us about Glasgow versus Miles City back in, was it 83? And he said at halftime, the announcer in Miles City was announcing where the after party was going to be at, but the Scotties came back and beat them in 83. I do have to, one random thing, I just got just a funny observation, I think, here is how cool is it, or how funny is it that Moo U, is being taken to the national championship by a coach named Vegan.
I thought about that. Every time I say his name, I think, is there a way I can say that? Let's throw two G's in it and call him Vegan. No matter what you do, he's still a vegan. He's the biggest guy on the team.
It was really cool. I think it was Jason Walker and Helena shared this great photo of Coach Choate on the field shaking the hands with Coach Vegan. That was a nice little handoff after the big playoff game. But yeah, as a dad, though, how was that moment when you saw your two girls riding on horseback in with the American flag and the other flags rolling in?
I've learned something in the last few years. I've done a lot of cool stuff in my career. I've been to a lot of cool places. I've performed in, here, now I'm tooting my own horn, AT&T Stadium in front of 50,000, Madison Square Garden, where I'm going to be during the national championship, by the way.
As long as you show them your papers first.
No comment. But there's nothing brings pride like when your girls do something like that. And they won their college rodeo team won the national championship in June at the College National Finals Rodeo. There were the four girls, Taylor Moikens, Lindsay Pulsifer, and then Shelby and Paige, my two girls. So that brings more pride than anything I do is overshadowed. They're the real stars. Let me tell you, those two, they kind of are stars.
They're rock stars out there. Yeah, that's for sure. And the MSU women's rodeo team won the national finals this year, so hugely successful there.
Yeah.
You know, it is interesting. I remember I did one of my first patrols in Ramadi, Iraq on Christmas Day, and you know, as a new infantry platoon leader, lieutenant, they, you know, lead from the front. You know, follow me is the patch when you're going through the infantry officer course. And so you think you got to be the guy out front on everything. The most successful raid we ever did in Ramadi, Iraq during my tour was when actually I kind of stayed back with our interpreter guys and some others interviewing, questioning the people that we would pull off a target. But when I just hung back and let the guys do their thing, most successful raid we ever had. And it was so cool to just be like, you know what? Yeah, it's just sometimes you just got to get out of the way.
I think that goes to, we were talking earlier, I coached a little bit and right out of college. And then I coached track in Shoto for a few years when my daughter was there. And what you were doing with military and coaching, it comes down to you coach, but when it comes game time, there's a little bit of me I've told parents. I remember a lady in Haver, her daughter was hurdling, and I was on the other side of the track. She said, "Why aren't you over on that straightaway yelling at my daughter?" I said, "If she doesn't know it by now, she isn't going to learn it on game day." And so I look at the great coaches. Vegan right now for Montana State. You watch Bobby Houck. They're pretty stoic on the sideline because it's game day. You know, hopefully you've done all your coaching up to that point, as you did with your platoon, where then you can stand back and watch the success happen in front of you. I think there's a real, well, listen, I'm a believer. When I was in high school, I played for a guy named Butch Damberger. He gave me this top.
Yeah, you got your Montana State University Strand Union shirt on.
Yeah, he runs a student union, the Strand Union in Bozeman now. But when he got there, we all had to have the same game socks. We all had the same color T-shirt under our pads that nobody could see. If we wore sleeves, they had to be white. Everybody looked exactly the same on the field in their uniform. Exactly. No exceptions. What that did is it created a discipline in the small stuff that when it came to the big stuff, we were disciplined there as well. And it was like the military.
Yeah.
The military
one team,
is
one
the,
fight.
That's right. The military is the greatest team in the world. And that's, I believe, that's how sports teams, it's a smaller version of that, but that's the model.
Well, and probably in another similar regard is, and I know we got so many Montanans that are deployed right now, is that the backbone, the true coaching staff, the true backbone, you know, the officers and the headliners, they'll get a lot of the credit, but the real credit and success is due to those sergeants and those non-commissioned officers. In the Navy, it's the chiefs, and you know, they're the ones who are the backbone that really deserve the credit for any success that's out there. You know,
I'll tell you who really deserves the credit like this fall is fans like us. You and me, Aaron. We're the ones.
Right. Yeah.
We're carrying those dang
we
teams.
We built that.
We built this city on rock and roll.
Not on country. Not on country. Now you got to see if people are going to cancel culture now because you said rock and roll instead of country. Tom in Bozeman, who's on the line, wants to say something about this Yellowstone TV show.
Yes, this is Tom in Bozeman, and I am a Bobcat fan. You know, I have been for the last many years that we've lived in Bozeman, but I wanted to talk about yesterday's program about when you had Lebonski, whatever his name is, who's the CEO of PERC and Yellowstone, the TV program.
Yeah,
and,
go ahead.
I have the publication from PERC. I get it on a regular basis, and this is a special one about the program Yellowstone. And I think this really relates to what you're talking about because the program Yellowstone really praises and promotes masculinity, which we don't see very much in any other TV program or anywhere else in our society right now. And that's why I really enjoy the program Yellowstone. And I've really been a PERC supporter for the last several years. And I'm reading one of the articles about the reservation and life on the reservation. And I had an opportunity to speak and teach on the reservation for a while. And it was really a kind of an appalling situation. I was kind of devastated by the poverty on the reservation.
Yeah, interesting. Well, thanks for that call, Tom. We're gonna pop a button so we don't hear the feedback as Flint Rasmussen and I are talking here. But okay, there we go. Flint. So I chatted with Brian Yablonsky, and that's going to be coming up Monday in our 9 o'clock hour. It'll be on our Montana Talks podcast as well. But yeah, whole series, 56-page report they did. It's really interesting looking at this TV show Yellowstone. You and I have both gotten to interview Forrey Smith, who plays Lloyd in Yellowstone, except for Forrey had to beg to be on your show.
That's right.
You know, for the record here.
Yeah.
But there are some underlying themes in this show, even though it's over the top, that are pretty interesting in real world debates that we have. But what about this topic of masculinity being allowed on TV?
And is it a conscious thing by Yellowstone? I think it's just portraying a ranching atmosphere. And I don't know. It's again, here's what's happened to us. If we talk about masculinity, then being in the profession I'm in, where I'm always speaking and talking in front of a crowd in a big city, everything that I talk about goes through a little filter. Ooh, can I talk about that? Here, we're just talking about guys being masculine on a ranch, and I'm tiptoeing around. It doesn't mean there's a dislike or an offense to something that isn't masculine, but when I watch, I never even thought about it until that guy said that.
I remember we had a caller bring it up maybe a month or two ago and said, I think why this show is so popular, I know it was one of our callers, said, is because they allow men to be men on this show. But there's also strong women on this show, too.
Completely.
But that's the West. That's ranching lifestyle in Montana. The women are tough. I mean, what do you think in the homesteading days women were doing? Are sitting around knitting, baking pies all day? They were building the mud hut, too. What do you think?
I don't know. It's that Western lifestyle of... Yeah. I don't know. But I will address something he said about, you know, he had a chance. He taught on the reservation. My mom and dad were both teachers when we were very young. They got out of education.
You were a teacher, too?
And I taught for a couple of years. Yeah. My sister's in education. My dad taught and coached on reservations. He was in Harlem for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so we have spent a lot of time. I grew up south of the Blackfeet Reservation. And, yeah, the reservation life, don't sugarcoat it. For a lot of people, not good. And, you know, I have friends that I work with in TV and stuff from the East Coast. The reservation, the only reservation they go to is the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut. And they say, are the reservations in Montana like this? No. No.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. I don't even know how to describe it, but I don't know that people really understand life on the reservation.
And the economic challenges and everything.
Yeah.
And especially in light of COVID-19, where the reservations were hit harder than, frankly, anywhere else, on numbers-wise. Yeah.
And if you want, the same day that Forrey was on my show, one of my most popular guests of the week was a kid named Dougie Hall, from up in Browning, Danson Dougie Hall. If you want to follow him on Facebook, he throws out little social media messages. He had a really great one yesterday that I saw. He won an award, a Legacy of the West award, as a positive influencer down in Las Vegas, as someone that stood up and really helped the youth on the reservation. And he's a good bronc rider. He made the circuit finals this year. His uncle is a guy who, a lot of us in rodeo know, Mouse Hall, who has raised some great bucking horses, but a real positive influence for young people up on the reservation. So that's somebody interesting to follow.
Yeah, it's always good to see who to follow, because you can crowd your feed with a bunch of nonsense, or you can find these incredible Montana folks and stories and everything. Okay, so you mentioned being a teacher, and I'm going to bring this up because I think we just need to put a halt to any sort of suggestion that this should ever happen. One of your students, Kyle Leeds, great guy, Haver, Montana. In fact, I saw him at the radio station there a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago when we were doing our hometown handshake tour. But he mentioned, and I saw a Wall Street Journal story where for the big dogs of college football, Texas A&M, whatever, they may not have their national championship football game. So Kyle, and I'm with you, it's like, oh, don't even suggest it, don't even bring it up. He raised the question, could they cancel the national championship football game for the Bobcats?
Well, he didn't even say could it happen. He said, what would the reaction of Bobcat fans be if the national championship, because of COVID? And I got on there and said, Kyle, like, you know what the answer is. What do you think we're going to go, oh, phew, we don't have to play that game? No, Kyle, you know what the answer is.
I even said the saddles off the horses, put them back in the barn.
I even said on there to Kyle, Kyle, I feel like I'm your teacher again. By the way, Kyle was in one of my favorite U.S. history classes. Weird that I remember this. It was one of my smaller classes. There's about 24 kids in there, and there was like two boys. Kyle Leeds was one of them. He sat right in the front and knew stuff I didn't know. And, you know, I said, don't stir where there is no soup. That's not an option yet. But hey, Texas A&M can't go to the Gator Bowl because they had an outbreak on their team. And I want to know what an outbreak means. Does that mean positive tests? The NFL finally came around and said, we are no longer going to test asymptomatic vaccinated players.
We are wasting these resources on college athletes who are not even vulnerable. Focus on the vulnerable anyway, but it's just crazy. I just hope they don't even entertain this idea, because there would be a mutiny. I mean, even Grizz fans will be ticked off if they cancel. Wendy in Helena listening to KCAP. She says, hello to Flint. She's talking about you, not me. But she says, love the show. Hands down, she says, the Cats have the best opening. So shot across the bow there already.
I know Wendy, right?
Yeah. Great rodeo family there in Helena, and military family, service family. Thanks to all the military spouses and family members out there this holiday season as well, by the way. I know there was something else I was going to ask you about here too, Flint, but what did you want to be when you were growing up? Are you doing what you wanted to do growing up?
Well, I don't know specifically if I'm doing – looking back now, I realize what I had. I had a real bug to be not in a regular line of work. I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to perform, looking back now.
Can you sing?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Bo doesn't look like he can sing.
I've been known to get on stage with Chancey Williams here.
Okay.
My brother Will and my sister Linda and me did a lot of singing.
Oh, okay.
I was in... Well, everything I did in high school, I was a three-sport guy, but I was in the all-state choir. I was in the school musical every year. So everything I did.
Choir boy.
Yeah.
Choir boy Flint Rasmussen, on the radio.
That's right. Yeah. Everything I did was basically on a stage in front of people. So I had that bug. You know, I remember driving to school one morning when I was still in one of my 2 years of teaching school in Haver, and it was dark. It was about 10 below zero, taking the same drive I'd been taking a year and a half. And I went, is this it? Is this it? Just taking the same drive to school every day. It just didn't fit me. I never, people always say I quit teaching school because I hated it and I got sick of it. Not at all. I loved the coaching probably a little more just because that was my nature. But I just had a bug to, man, here I was 24, 25 years old and didn't own anything, didn't owe anybody anything. And I was getting phone calls about my rodeo clowning career. And I thought, what, why would I not try this?
Yeah.
Why would I not do it?
And it's great too, because you get to go out and see the world, but then still get to come back home to Montana too.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of the best of the both worlds. But what brought that random question to mind is, hey, you know, we're relaxing here. It's a, you know, it's the holidays. And but also when I was down at the National Finals Rodeo and Cowboy Christmas, as I'm walking back and forth from the Westgate Hotel to the convention center, it's about a mile walk, I think, every day, back and forth. And I kept running into Greg Putnam, a Navy SEAL who's got the Little Belt Cattle Company out in Martinsdale. And I was like, holy cow, do I got a Navy SEAL running surveillance on me? What's going on here? But I thought about it. Here's this surfer dude with a cowboy hat who's running this cattle ranch now, who recently got out of the military. You know, and you think of the Toby Keith song, Should Have Been a Cowboy, and it's like, Well, then go be one. Mm. And that's what he's doing, and it's so cool. But we need younger families getting back into
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you know? And I think, there's something for everyone. I always tell kids, find something you're passionate about. What are you passionate about? And it can be anything. Pick something. And there is something out there that caters to whatever your passion is. And when I look back now, my passion was being in front of people, and I love now even this. There's people out there. We can't see them, but I know I'm talking to all those people. And with digital stuff, on-air stuff, through my years of filtering what I'm saying to crowds across in every demographic of people, I feel like I've really learned to express myself. I feel like I'm logical and not, I bring emotion into it, but still remain logical. I think that's what we see in analyzing things like the Bobcats and Grizzlies. People get so emotional they can't even express a thought the right way. And I really love that I've learned to express thoughts in I'm a math guy too, so to me it's like problem solving.
Yeah,
you got to take care of step one before you go to step two, and you can't skip steps. And I tell kids all the time, that's the benefits. I used to tell them the first day of school, I'm going to answer your question. We're in geometry or we're in algebra. No, if your question is, where are we ever going to use this? Nowhere. But we're teaching your brain how to logically think and problem solve. And I think I've done that. My math mind has contributed, believe it or not, to my entertainment and the discussions I have.
Well, and there's also other things that will come into the equation that you didn't anticipate. And it's kind of like that Garth Brooks song, you know, I thank God for unanswered prayers. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of us that, like, we had these big dreams of going here and going there. Like, I wanted to do the Tom Brokaw thing and be in Nairobi if that's where the big story was at. But then I thought about it. Well, the real reason I'd want to do the Tom Brokaw thing is so that one day I could afford a ranch in Montana. But now I get to be in Montana year round anyway. And thank God I get to be in Montana. Yeah. Rex from Belfry called with a quote from a farmhand about Montana, going back to this masculinity discussion, where the men are men and the women are too. there was another quote in this Perk report about the show Yellowstone and talking about fencing debates that come up. And, you know, because the show kind of mocks out-of-staters who move here but then complain about the fences and the cows. And there's this old quote about, well, if you move to Montana and you don't like fences and cows, that's kind of like building a house in a nudist colony and complaining about the naked people.
Hey, when I lived south of Missoula when I was first married, there was a fight because somebody had moved into Montana. And, we still use roads in Montana to move pastures with cattle. And the guy had run through the manure and splashed manure on his sports car and got in a fight with the guy who did it. And it's like, you moved to Montana, pal.